is the SEO with the most tattoos? Which search marketer builds their own cars for fun? Who used to be a ballet dancer? It's time to go deep into the lives of your favorite search marketers. This is Behind the SEOs with your hosts, Yosef Silver and Morty Oberstein.
Welcome to Behind the SEOs, where we strip away the facade of your favorite search marketers and bring them to life. I am your host, Morty Oberstein. You might know me as the liaison to the SEO community for Wix, and I am joined by...
My name is Yosef Silver. I'm the founder and CEO of Fusion Inbound.
And today we have a very special guest for you. But before that, you can find the Behind the SEOs podcast at Behind SEOs on Twitter, and of course at BehindTheSEOs.com. And of course, you may subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and wherever great podcasts are found. Okay, let's get right to it. We have a wonderful guest for you. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of Yosef. He's a friend of yours way longer than me. I mean, I barely call him a friend. I've known him and crapped on him on Twitter a couple of times. But other than that,
I mean, what else is friendship, really?
Oh, he's speaking already. Damn it. You're ruining this podcast. I mean, barely started. Yosef, I think you should introduce him.
Today's guest, we have Yuri Yarovoy. Yuri is the Chief Growth Officer at Warrior Made. Yuri, welcome.
Welcome.
Howdy.
You're allowed to talk now.
I'm allowed to talk.
You were always allowed to talk, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, who can interrupt Morty's, like, announcer voice?
You know, I know, right?
I don't want to get in the middle of that.
I wish I had another career as like a baseball announcer or something like that.
Yeah, but like it'd probably be for the Mets.
Perfect.
We're gonna get to this.
That's the justice in life, right? Like you make it all the way. You become an announcer, but the Mets are the only people to hire you.
Hey, it could be worse. Could be the Pirates. Anyway.
It could be the Pirates.
Because I'm telling you, like, my uncle's a Pirates fan. Oh, it's brutal. Yosef's like, what? Baseball? Americans.
There is a part of every podcast where I'm reminded that I did not grow up in this country. Every single time.
And I will.
And this is it. It's come early.
It has come early.
I think in every podcast, I've either made fun of T and or the Queen.
Don't make fun of the Queen. She's a sweet old lady.
She is a sweet old lady.
Sweet. Have you seen The Crown? Yosef, do you have The Crown?
She has immense responsibility.
She has zero responsibility.
There it goes.
Other than being the largest landowner in the UK, she has no actual power.
Here comes the American, right? What are they for? War. They do nothing.
She can authorize, she's the only one that can declare war.
Really?
She opens and closes parliaments, and she owns a lot of land.
Doesn't seem
her
right.
Family is like a lot of drama. If you've seen The Crown, like there's a lot to do.
Yes, that documentary that's fictionalized on Netflix. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
I wonder if she
it.
Watches it.
You know they're watching it. Come on. They're sitting around.
How old is Elizabeth?
427.
She is 91, 92.
Good for her, man.
Yeah.
I think the Queen Mother died at 103.
Those are some good genes.
Arranged
marriages for landed power have clearly yielded good genes.
She is 94, not 93.
She's 94. Wow.
I didn't realize that my grandmother was so close in age to the Queen. My grandmother's 91. So
wow.
Is there like a knitting club that they can all join? And
yeah.
So what are we doing here? Are we just going to talk about the Queen or like it's...
We could. We could.
I'm fine with it. You know,
and we would have alienated our entire UK audience. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine demonstrating my ignorance about the monarchy.
Right. But while I am ignorant, I have very strong opinions about it.
That's what being American is. Right. Although you no longer live in the US.
Hey, that's true. But I'm still very American. I'm the most American man in Israel.
I've been Wikipediaing while you've been bantering. And the Queen Mother died at the age of 101.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she died on, I think it was Passover. I remember finding out that she died.
Was that on purpose?
Did she die on purpose? She had the best healthcare in the country. I doubt it.
Joking. Maybe we should talk about Yuri.
Death is a choice, Morty. Death is a choice.
It is. Sometimes, in a way.
Yuri, should we talk about you?
This is going to take a dark turn, ain't it?
Oh, I really don't want to go here. Okay, so Yuri, tell us about your life. best interview question ever.
Hey, Yuri. What about you? No, one thing, Yuri, that I like about having you on the podcast is you have a lot in common with some of our previous guests. You, Heather, Lily, you like the outdoors. You like, you know, being one with nature. And I think you're our first West Coast guest. Ooh. So I would like to dive into a little bit of that. But you are not always from Santa Cruz, right?
I am not.
It's your new home.
From Philadelphia by way of Kiev, Ukraine.
Philly.
Philly.
Of those three locations.
Philly.
Yeah. My wife and I got tired of winter, so decided to leave that behind. Look, we live in a time of, like, we live in the most location-independent time of any generation at any point, right? Like, outside of maybe, like, nomadic humans early on, right? We have a choice of where to live. At least, like, it's a very privileged opinion, clearly, right? But I didn't have to stay in Philadelphia my entire life. There's this wonderful book, Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari, and he has a co-author that I always forget. But, like, they did a study of, like, where did people find love? And, like, in the 1920s, they looked at Philadelphia, and something like 80% of people married someone, like, from Philadelphia. Or it was like, no, it wasn't. I'm making these up. But it was like some massive percentage of people married someone within two block radius. And, like, another, like, large percentage of people married someone from their building, right? Like, we've expanded. Like, we have the opportunity to travel. Like, we have the opportunity to move. We don't have to stay in one place. So, like, if I don't want winter, I'm getting the hell out of winter.
Do you regret, like, so I don't live in winter either anymore. That's terrible English, but I haven't had a real winter in a long time. I don't live in winter anymore.
It's the choice of snow, really.
That's the thing, right? But I sometimes miss the snow.
Yeah, I can drive to Tahoe, look at all the snow, bounce around in the snow, pick it up, throw it in the air, and get the hell back in my car and drive the hell away.
As long as your neighborhood isn't on fire again.
That is true, yeah. But get this, fire and snow don't, like, fire and snow don't get along, right? So if there's fire, there's definitely not going to be snow.
I think I'd rather have snow.
Snow's, like, I love snow for the first day in the city, right? Because it's beautiful, it's glistening, everything's quiet, right? And then it gets gross very quickly. At least in Philadelphia, it freezes black ice. It gets, like, gray, slushy grossness. Like, people walk through it. It's no longer charming.
Isn't that how Philly always is?
No, it gets worse with snow.
Okay.
I've never been to Philly.
Philly's actually not a bad city.
Yeah, it's a great city.
I always crap on it, but...
Well, you crap on it mostly from, like, a sports perspective. It's a great city.
It's really nice. I mean, I actually spent a summer there at Temple when I did this Teach for America program, and they threw me at Temple. Yeah. So they threw me at Temple to do my teacher training for 2 months.
Cool.
That was interesting. That was not the best part of town. But
It's gotten better.
Has it? That's good.
Like, North Philly has gotten much better. Especially, like, since I've been gone, just, like, my friends that live there, like, they're not only, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, home prices are a direct indicator of, like, how much better the neighborhood got, but just, like, there's restaurants that have opened, and, like, it's become much more walkable. Yeah, it used to be a very unpleasant part of the city for safety reasons.
You know, when I was there, the campus security were counting, like, rifles. I'm like, all right, this is interesting. I've never seen that before.
You live in Israel, dude.
Yeah, that was before I lived. I was from New York, and I thought I've seen it all. I'm from New York, and then I went to Philly. But the
you didn't see that many guns and rifles when I, like, if a soldier got on a bus or something to, like, go home, they'd have a gun on them. But, like,
it was more like when you're at, like, the Shook, and, like, you're randomly, you'll see, like, a patrol walk by, or, like, you're walking into a store and you have to go through, like, metal detectors. So there's just, like, the constant, like, reminder of, like, security theater. Right.
It is theater, which is interesting, but it's a whole different conversation.
I mean, it's not knocking it, right? But, like, it's more like it's theater for theater purpose, right? Like, the more you see it, the more, one, it puts your mind at ease. And two, it, you know, any bad actor sees that as a potential deterrent. Although, like, if you're really motivated, that ain't going to stop.
Nothing says security like a 19-year-old with an assault rifle.
Yep.
We'll say every time I get on a bus in Israel, I clearly fit some sort of profile. Because, like, I get on a plane, train, go into malls, and they just let me through. Every time I get on a bus, they stop me.
Oh, really? So yeah. I do a thing. Like, I don't want to, like, talk about this, like, too much, because this is not about Yuri. So the way this works, like, the Hebrew accent, like, I would say it's like, if you speak French, you probably have a very good Hebrew accent.
Mm-hmm. The American, nasally.
Right. The American accent in Hebrew is, like, literally, like, you speak like you're Gomer Pyle. Like, you sound like an idiot automatically. Right? It's true. You know, like, I'll go to the airport. When you drive to the airport, they really tighten security before you even get to any of the terminals. Like, right when you get to the airport. And they make you roll down the window. And I just, like, in my, like, the thickest American Hebrew accent I possibly can, shalom. And they're always like, go, get the hell out of here.
Like, I don't have time for this.
Stupid American.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome. So, wait. So, would you, like, do you go back to Philly? Do you have fans? Fans? Do you have, we'll get to the fan thing. See what's
I have
in my
many
mind.
Fans in Philadelphia. Right, they all happen to be friends and family.
I'm asking, you still have friends and family in Philly? Do you go back?
Yeah, we don't have any family in Santa Cruz, which makes having two kids difficult. But
congratulations on the second kid.
Yeah, you just had a second kid. That's awesome.
How is that adaptation going? How are you sleeping? Do you remember?
Yeah. She's starting to sleep better, and that means Sarah's starting to sleep better, which means I'm starting to sleep better. Two's hard.
Dude. Yeah.
It was really hard.
Tell me about it.
Like I almost don't want to, like, I want to skip to the point where, like, she could sit up on her own. Okay. Like, at that point, like, usually the baby is a little more reasonable.
Children are
never
reasonable.
I think that's the hardest thing with, like, you can't, like, reason with a baby. Like, I would argue that
reasoning with, like, a 2.5
year old. I don't know what
you're looking for, but I can't reason with my 10-year-old.
Yeah, like reasoning with a like 2.5-year-old is hard, right? But at least there's, like, some logic that you can play with to kind of get them to agree or disagree or whatever, right? But with a baby, it's just like, it's like talking at a wall. Like, there's not much you can do other than, like, you know, balance and
right. No, but like, wait, with a baby, like you don't like where they are or what they're doing. You just literally pick them up and move them.
That is a perk. It was arguably, like, the best time for to travel. Like, when my son was I went to Moscow and he was like 8 weeks old. Like, we flew three times with him before he was 3 months old. Like, we traveled a lot with him. He probably has, like, more frequent flyer. He's probably been on more flights before the age of three than I had been up until, like, age 15.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Babies
do
are not
you,
bad.
Obviously, this year, travel isn't a big part of, you know, 2020. But are you, like, I know you, like, I mean, you live in a beautiful part of the country. You have, like, beach, you have forest, you have all, I mean, you have everything, and clearly no snow. Have you taken the baby out on, like are you bike riding and hiking and all that stuff with the baby yet? Is she still too young?
Not yet. The birth was a little difficult on Sarah. So she's just getting to a point where she can be a little more active. Yeah. So looking forward to that. Like, I think that's also contributed to kind of, like, the difficulty of things.
I have this image of, like, you and your entire family, like, backpacking in the woods for, like, 4 days with everything you need on your back.
I'm looking forward to that. Right? Like, come hell or high water, I'm definitely taking Sawyer camping, at least camping. I don't know if backpacking is in his cards at the ripe old age of three just yet. Because, like, I don't want to carry him.
Right.
So, like, I want to go somewhere where he can, like, get around on his own.
Where his opinions will align with the goal of the hike.
Yeah. Yeah, but I definitely want to take him, like, this summer. There's I think I know where I'm going to go, but yeah.
What was the trail you did recently? It was outdoors. You said it was, like, a really intense, like, 2-3 day, almost killed you kind of hike.
Yeah. We went up to this place called Hyatt Lake in Emigrant Wilderness. So, like, my buddy wanted to do, like, a really hard hike. He had never been backpacking at all, ever. I was like, okay.
So you broke him in
sure.
easy.
Sure. Huh?
So you broke him in easy.
Yeah, sort of. So we went to this place called Hyatt Lake. There's no trail to it, so you go cross country. He had a hard time adjusting to, like, using a map and listening to directions. Like, not like me giving directions, but, like, directions of, like, where to go, like, navigational directions. He thought it was, like, just walk straight, but in reality, like, you know, you use waypoints and, like, you get to a place and then you turn or whatever, right? Like, we have a map and compass and all that. It was very difficult. Like, the terrain was very difficult. There's a ton of brush. And then by the time, like, there's only one place to get water, and, like, he had blown right past it. So I was like, I got to catch up to him. And by the time that we got to, like, the top of the, like, on the other side of the valley, like, I'm pretty sure I had, like, severe heat exhaustion, not quite heat stroke, but slept in the shade, like, on top of this pass for, like, 3 hours. Like, you know, this isn't good. Kind of going through my head. Yeah. He apologized the next day. Like, once we got to camp, he apologized profusely, like, the next morning. He's like, I did not expect that to kick my ass like that. Thanks, Chris. But it was good because Like, he's very, very in shape. And I definitely went, like, off the couch, like, straight up dad bod, which contributed to my condition. Yeah. But, like, together, we made one really good hiker. Because, like, psychologically, I was, like, strong. But, like, psychologically, he was very weak. whereas, like, physically, I, like, crumbled. Like, I mean, like, the hike was fine. It's just, like, I got, like, seriously wrecked because of no water and, like, it was very hot.
And dad bod.
Yeah. Whereas he was fine, like, physically, just emotionally wrecked. So, you know, like, it's always bad when both people fall apart one way or another. Like, you know, this way, like, we could kind of, like, keep each other going, which was helpful. But yeah, no, this was, like, the ego in me says, like, this is only a 6-mile hike one way, which is hilarious because, like, I've done, like, 30 miles in, like, rough terrain, but, like, on trail, and, you know, it's a very hard day, but it's fine. This was, like, the hardest miles I've ever done anywhere ever in my life. And, yeah.
I used to do
humbling, humbling experience.
So I used to hike a lot, and I found, I mean, we're talking a long time ago already, but I found, like, right, so you can have, like, a really, really hard trail, and it could be really, really long. But, like, if for me, it always depended on the day. Like, yeah, if today was a good day, it didn't matter. I could do 40 miles. I could do, but it could be the easiest, stupidest hike. And it was just if it's the wrong day, it is the wrong day.
What I love.
Is there a positive correlation between wrong day and hangover?
man, I can't even imagine just hungover. Like, that day plus hangover, like, I probably wouldn't have made it. What I like about backpacking is, like, it kills your ego. And what I mean by that is there's only one way to go, and that's, like, ahead, right? Like, no one's going to carry your crap for you. Like, you're in this. Like, the only way you're getting out is if you get yourself out, right? So, it forces you to kind of just, like, put all of your shit aside and just put one foot in front of the other and just do it, right? And I think, like, very few instances in life force you into that corner where you have to, like, fight out of that corner. And I like doing that. Like, it's motivating.
I feel like that with binge watching. Like, if I need, I can plow through this. And it's
totally
the
same exact thing.
Right? Yes. It's just one episode at a time. I can do this. I can get through this. I will nail this. I will watch the entire season in one sitting.
Exactly,
no?
Like that, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
That's what
totally.
I make sure I understand. Yeah. Like, yeah. Same guy, right.
Yes.
I would have made a great Marine.
100%, yeah. Right. Yes, there's an entire branch of the military.
Binge watching.
It's actually, yeah. Yes, Netflix Warriors, they call them.
Better than mopping floors. My brother, by the way, my brother's in the Army. He's like stationed somewhere in Tacoma or something like that. So he says, like, yeah, I'm in some like chemical unit division. But he's like, you know, all these like fancy words they use in the Army for like describing things. I'm thinking in my head, like, you know, like chemical division, and you're talking about mixing this ahead of the deal with that. Like, dude, do you mop floors? And the chemicals is Mr. Clean? Is that what's going on here?
Just like a fancy rebranding of right. Janitorial yeah. staff.
Right. Basically, the military. How long have we been going for? No one's been timing this. I feel like I should have been timing this.
11:33 my time. So
it took about 45 minutes for your microphone to work. So.
Yeah, I vote you buy a normal mic.
This is a high quality mic.
I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying.
I'm asking you a question. No. I'll stop you right there. What is not normal about it?
You don't hear the sound.
Yes.
No, that was Zoom. I don't know what it is. Okay, that's Zoom.
What's not normal about it is the function or lack thereof.
I have podcasted many a moons with this microphone. I blame your Zoom link, to be honest with you.
What?
I will just say that.
You can't turn tables.
Listen, it's 2020. I've seen what's going on in America. I can say whatever I want without any backup whatsoever.
Fair.
Right?
But if you're using
wrong, but fair. Wait a second. Let me just wipe away the hair dye that's dripping down the side of my face while I'm talking. By the way, are we allowed to talk about this on this podcast? All right, left, right, center, up, down, whatever you are. Rudy Giuliani has to be the biggest freak of nature I've ever seen. Like, where did he come from? Because like, I remember he was mayor of New York City when I grew up. He was the mayor of New York City, and I don't remember like, you know, I wasn't old enough to understand the politics. Was he good? Was he bad? But he seemed like a normal, you know, regular politician mayor. You saw him at the Yankee games. And then he disappears for 20 years and then he reemerges. And this is him. What happened in that like span of time?
I was wondering that because, again, I wasn't in the States, let alone New York. And I was like, hang on, was he a good mayor? Like, I feel like he was liked as a mayor. I don't remember.
I mean, like, he was America's mayor after 9/11. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I definitely was not old enough to remember the politics, but I'm very much, I remember him as Saturday Night Live. I remember you've watched the World Series. When the Yankees were in it in the 90s all the time, like, he was sitting front row and he was a regular politician, agree or disagree with him. But now, like, something tragic happened to him or something, I feel like.
I think he got caught doing something and it's so compromising that now he's on the hook for something. That's my personal theory, but hey.
Who knows? All right.
Or he was just always like that, but, you know, he wanted to be a successful politician. That's no longer the pressure that he's under. He can do whatever he wants.
He's like, hey, I'm just going to do me from now on.
Yeah. I hesitate to say this because I want to stay away from politics, but I do think the last 4 years have eroded a sense of tradition and decorum that used to be in politics.
That I agree with. I don't think that that's necessarily like a
secret
controversial statement. Yeah. I think right. That's like, there's it's interesting. And we can move away from politics after this. Like, there's almost like a sense of honor that existed, right? Like, you did the right thing regardless of whether it, like, it may not benefit you directly, but it's still the right thing to do, so you do it. It was like the utilitarian good. Like, that used to be a thing that existed in politics, right? And sometimes you did that for leverage down the road for other things that may benefit you. It could be strategic. Point is, you still did it, right? Like, that no longer exists. And I think that erosion is not only bad, it's toxic. Right. It has like a compounding effect on society. Negative effect on society. Personal opinion. Anywho.
That's profound. With that, and as
that's the school for history and political science. Like, ooh, I can talk about this all day.
I love history. I'm a history buff. I have a history. All right, my undergrad was history. Okay. How have we not talked about this whole time? Oh my God. Okay. Anyway,
from your mic was broken.
Right. Yeah, you were actually talking about it. We just couldn't hear it.
I was expounding upon the strategic difference between Vietnam and World War II. You missed the whole lecture. Anyway, from a serious topic like that to some rapid fire questions that we have. Okay. So these are basically for those of you first time listening. These are like random out of left field kind of questions. Some of them are completely insane. Those are the ones I came up with, and some of them are just kind of funny and, you know, cute. Those are the ones that Yosef came up with.
So it's just like normal questions for you, Morgan.
For me, yeah, it's like totally normal questions. Like
nothing changes.
Nothing changed. Yosef, you should kick it off with the first one, I think.
Okay, just answer with the first thing that comes to your head. Don't overthink it. This is our rapid fire question round.
All right.
Okay. East Coast or West Coast?
Best Coast, West Coast.
Mets or Yankees?
Mets, because I know that it hurts you.
Jets or Giants?
Jets, because I know that hurts you.
No, I'm a Steelers fan. Nah, you lose.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You lose.
I'll go with Joe Namath.
By the way, I love Joe Namath. Sexiest man ever.
I just like his fur coat.
He wore a
fur coat well.
He wore it well, and he still wears it well, which is amazing.
You know what you need to wear a fur coat well? Snow in winter.
What?
Snow in winter.
Yeah. I mean, I have no desire to wear a fur coat. Namath swag. Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe. Yeah. Okay, Rangers or Islanders?
Islanders, mainly because I'm a Flyers fan, so like saying Rangers is just...
Okay, by the way, in case you haven't realized what's going on here, I am asking you to pick between two New York teams because I know how painful it is for him to choose anything New York when it comes to sports.
The food's good.
No, the food is good. Okay, burn a dumpster...
Did you know the Philadelphia cream cheese is actually a New York brand?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Do they have
the history? Random history? Yes. So it turned the century.
Why do you know this?
I don't know. I know.
That's a weird question. Why do you know something?
No, like, why do you know that? Dude, do you know the history of Keebler?
Elves? Like, elves? No, I don't. But so, all right, real quick, the Philadelphia thing. Turn of the century, Philadelphia had, like, Philadelphia was a crossroads for, like, a lot of, like, high quality food importing, so, like, importers and, like, across the country and internationally. So the best food, whether it was you know, imported or originated, but came from Philadelphia.
Oh.
Philadelphia was synonymous with quality.
Ah.
So the schmoes in, you know, New York were like, how do we sell this? Let's call it Philadelphia cream cheese, because that's quality.
That's interesting. My, how times have changed. Okay, so I've my favorite question of all these: burn a dumpster or throw a battery?
Ooh, it's not a rapid fire. I have to reason this out. It's 2020. I say burn a dumpster.
Burn a dumpster. But okay, so quick history on this. Philly fans, when they win or lose, they burn things. They burn the city down, which is amazing.
We don't always burn things.
When they win or lose?
Yes, when they won the Super Bowl, they destroyed the city.
You can't make us happy. Yeah.
So it's just an expression of emotion.
Yes.
Right, but usually, yay, let's go get drunk. They're like, hey, let's go burn stuff down. And also, they have a knack of throwing batteries at sports games.
By the way, New York also has a history of
it. Yes, yeah, we threw batteries at Kirby Puckett. Yeah.
Y'all aren't innocent, I'm just saying.
No, I'm not. Hey, okay, this is my last one, then I'll hand it back to Yosef. Lindsay Lohan or Lindsey Graham?
What? Parent Trap. How do you not like the Parent Trap?
Right. At least there's something to like. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, no, Lohan all day.
All right.
If you want the serious answer, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, good. Fine. No, it's a serious question. Of course I want a serious answer.
Life or death.
For death. Okay, Yosef, you take it away.
Domain authority or meta descriptions?
What? Wait, we're like being topical now? Meta descriptions.
Suck it up or cry like a baby.
Suck it up.
Stiff upper lip. The Englishman likes it.
He does. That's why we're friends.
Right.
Eat to live or live to eat.
Depends on the day. I can't commit to one or the other.
Commit.
I'll ride the fence on that one.
I'll take this one. Born in the USA or born on the bayou?
Bayou.
Much better song. I agree. Credence.
Yeah. I'm not really a Springsteen fan, I gotta say.
Me neither. I went to his concert at Giant Stadium, I don't know, like 20 years ago.
It was probably like, I hear he puts, oh really? I mean, he puts on a pretty good show.
No, it's a great show. Just like, I don't know. I still, it doesn't do it for me. I don't know. It's heretical. Okay, Yosef, back to you.
Monorail or subway?
Ooh.
Monorail or subway?
Yeah.
Subway. But can we go back? Like, CCR is just like a fantastic band in general. I just wanna.
Yeah,
like unbelievable. If you have any other questions, like compare CCR to another band, it's probably.
Do you like Fogerty on his own?
I gotta say, I'll be honest, I don't really know a lot of the stuff that he put out after.
You, CCR. If you heard it, there's a couple.
I'm sure I've heard it. And like, oh, I didn't realize that was like a solo act. He has like a very distinct voice, which I love. I love his voice.
And he got sued for his own song. He did a.
Yeah, I don't really know the history of the drama, like of the falling out.
I think there was something like he put out a song on by himself, and I think it was on another record label, and then the original record label for CCR sued him for stealing his own music, something like that. Like, it's a crazy thing.
That's funny. The record industry is screwed up.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, what's the next, Yosef?
John Oliver or John Mulaney?
Oliver. Oliver.
Really?
Who chooses Mulaney?
He's funny.
I'm not saying he's funny, but it's like average funny. Which
John
like,
Oliver
yeah, giggles.
Me.
John Oliver is just like over
he
the top.
Me so much.
Where's the loyalty?
He's a fellow countryman.
Where's the loyalty?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
I love his directness, right? Mulaney's like dances around with like, you know, punchlines. Like there are no punch. Like I like the comedy that has no punchline. It's just like the entire story is great.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like Seth Meyers
John Oliver is very good at delivery. Whereas like comics that like, I don't like comics that like set up for punchlines, right? Like Chappelle was a very good comic that doesn't do that.
Right.
You know, he just tells a story and like the story is absurd. You're like, this is hilarious.
Love Chappelle. By the way, Oliver's metaphorical humor, like when you watch the, you know, his TV show,
mm-hmm.
and he'll like throw up an image and like you catch the connection between what he's saying and the image. Brilliant. It's like, absolutely mm-hmm. brilliant. High level, high intelligence comedy. That's why Yosef. Yeah. Okay, now it makes sense.
I like that Oliver commits 100% to the joke.
Right.
You know.
I'll give you that. That I will okay. give you.
Let's wrap this up quickly.
Budapest or Bangkok?
Say that again?
Budapest or Bangkok?
I've never been to Budapest. So I'll say Bangkok.
Okay. And final question, dumplings or sushi?
Ooh. Dumplings, easily. Dumpling. But like real dumplings. I'm sorry. Like I love dumplings are. I know like this is where we bonded, Yosef, but like.
There's a ritual.
There are so many better dumplings out there.
Fair enough.
We should go to Din Tai Fung next time we're in Seattle.
We should go anywhere next time we can go to Seattle. We should just go to Seattle when we can go to Seattle.
I'll take that. Yeah, I'll start with that. But I'm just saying like Din Tai Fung, it's Americanized. Like, I mean, it's pretty good. It's traditional, but they're good. They're so much better. But they're also like, keep in mind that the dumplings that you have at Dumpling Tsar and dumplings that you have like at like a Taiwanese restaurant, or, like yeah, Chinese restaurant, very different, right? And meant to be eaten differently. Anyway.
Great. I'm glad we settled that.
Dumplings for a while. Yeah. Sorry, Morty, you're excluded from this conversation.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just going to say...
In every episode, we have this moment where I know nothing about what's going on because it's about American culture or history or music or things.
Or America in general.
I've lived it 10 years.
I'm joking.
When did you leave the country?
I don't know. 7 years ago.
There you go. So we swapped. And then there are moments where we talk about British things and Morty's rolling his eyes.
Right. I thought when you said, you know, cream and the jelly thing, you're dumping jelly into milk.
I can't have this conversation again.
Wait, hold on.
We're going to end on this.
I need to understand this.
Okay. So, you know, the Brits have this thing of, like, you know, cream and jam.
On a scone. You have your cream and then you put jam on top.
What is the cream?
See, to American, cream is milk.
It's not milk.
No, to an American,
like cheese?
Right. It's cream cheese.
It's cream cheese and jam?
What's cream cheese?
It's whatever. What is it?
What is it?
Meet me in London and I'll show you.
Wow.
Is it like
it's whipped cream. It's like whipped cream. It's not even whipped cream. It's just like a thick cream.
Like, it's a dessert cream.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's like very whipped, thick. Like
whipped cream. Miracle Whip. Like, it's freaking Miracle Whip.
No, it's not Miracle Whip. It's made from real animal product. It's not vegan. It's not chemical. I imagine, and I'm no baker at all, I'd imagine if you are making your own butter from scratch, I would imagine it's somewhere in that process before it turns to butter and separates.
Is it like clotted cream or like clotted milk? Like there's like a thing.
It's probably, yeah.
Why is this so complicated? Is
it
butter? Is it Miracle
Whip? Yeah, but like the Brits also like do the thing where like crisps are potato chips.
That's just a different word.
And like fries are not, like, it's just, that's wrong.
Yeah, but like, why is it, no, but why is it so hard to understand like cream? Like, it was just not, the point of the story is, okay, is that when you say cream to an American, you mean milk. Like, how do you take your coffee? Cream and sugar. So like he's talking about,
I've never understood what the cream thing is that you guys call for coffee.
Because the top, you skim the cream off the top of the
milk. Yeah, well, what would you call that, by the way? Like if I wanted cream and sugar in my coffee, how would you order that in like,
I drink my coffee black. I don't drink coffee, but when I did, I drank it black.
I too drink my coffee black.
Then I can't answer the question.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is when he's talking about, first you put the jelly onto the cream. Like, why are you guys dumping jelly into milk? Like, I don't understand. What's going on here?
It's jam, not jelly. It's a
preserve. I know. I do that on purpose.
I can't. I'm quitting the podcast.
Jelly.
Jelly?
You win.
Yeah, but those are actually different things, right? Like jam, jelly, and
preserves.
Preserves, right? They're like various levels of like being strained, right?
Well, like
preserves, I think, like have all the fruit. Jam has like pieces of fruit. Like jelly has no fruit in it, like actual like remnant fruit.
I feel like in England, that's jam with bits and jam without bits.
This is going too far. We're going to end this here. You're.
Listen, I mean, I'm gonna. I'm sorry to all of your British listeners, but I'm going to say the thing that everybody understands is like the English aren't really known for their food. Like the best food in England is like Indian or Pakistani or Turkish. Like, and it's really, really good. Like, you know,
you don't like oxtails, dude.
Can we edit the ending to like 90 seconds?
No, this is perfect.
I'm just like, it's like the British Empire extended
and they imported
a ton of fantastic food. And because of that, they kind of outsourced the food quality. Like they never actually learned how to cook themselves. So
no, I think home cooking in the UK is much larger than it is in the US.
Clearly, really? I'm clearly joking. Oh, every one of your British listeners, please understand that this is a joke meant to get under Yosef's skin.
Right. This whole thing is about getting under Yosef's skin.
When you say this whole thing, you mean the segment or like the
No, podcast? The whole podcast.
Okay. The whole podcast, yeah.
Now I understand.
This is what happens when you play phone tag with me. I would have gotten all of this out on the phone had either of us picked up with the other
call. I mean, that's fair. We've been trying to speak since like, you know, I don't know, 2018 at this rate.
Okay.
Longest game of phone tag ever.
Okay, fellas, we got to wrap this up. We're like way over. Like, we wanted like, what, 20 minutes for this podcast? 25 minutes? Like,
well,
what, like an hour?
Microphone problems.
Recording time, buddy. Recording time.
Nah.
Yuri, thank you. What he said. Thank you for joining us. I was going to say, like, you know, do the whole
quick,
like,
wrap it up.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to tune in to the next episode of Behind the SEOs. You can subscribe at behindtheseos.com. Check us out at behindtheseos.com and on Twitter, Behind SEOs. And of course, subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcast material. Thank you so much for listening.